When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Uncover a world of sensuality and pleasure with New Zealand's pioneering sex toy purveyors. Whether you seek excitement that leaves you wet, loud, or speechless, we have something for your every desire. Explore the world's best brands at your fingertips. Peachesandcream.co.nz, R18. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, intimacy and relationship coach and culinary artist, and I'm bringing sex to the dinner table. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to global leading sexologist and mentor Julia Allen, who is well known for her bold, straight-to-the-point manner and for authentically sharing her own experience as a lover of all things sex and sensuality. Julia draws on her background in psychology, sexology, yoga, and Kundalini Tantra to empower humans to embrace their sexuality and transform their sex and relationships. She opens the conversation of how to have great sex every day via her online pleasure school and her own podcast, Authentic Sex. In this intimate conversation, Juliet shares about her return to the dick after a four-year relationship with a woman who she was engaged to and how much she missed it. She shares how the day she met her baby daddy Nick, she knew in that moment that he was her guy. She shares the challenges she has faced in relationship when knowing she was ready for a baby and he wasn't quite. How therapy has been paramount to their relationship success and evolution. What having babies is like in your 40s versus your 20s. How to keep the spice alive with saucy role play, how to navigate conflict in relationship, and so much more. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
All right, here we go. I've potentially got COVID. Your child's been scratching your face.
What's with his new thing? He gets in the bed in the morning for a cuddle and he's obsessed with my nose. So he'll go, "Mummy, kiss nose," but it's a trap. Because he doesn't just kiss it, he then bites it, and then he launches in for a scratch, and that's why I've got this red fucking thing off in my eye.
You can barely see it, and you look beautiful.
Thanks. So,
anyway, welcome. Welcome, my darling.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. And I just want to preface another failure, which is I messaged you, and I said, "Julia, what is your favorite food / snack?"
Yeah, where the fuck is it?
You said your top snacks were...
What did I say? Chocolate
milk specifically. B, apple crumble. And C, lasagna meat.
The lasagna meat, I meant meat lasagna.
She just wants the meat of the lasagna. Okay, how am I going to get this to her?
I am pregnant, remember. So, there's, yeah. You know, it gets very specific towards the end of a pregnancy.
I loved it so much. But anyway, I went to the post office last week to drop you some of New Zealand's most delicious chocolate.
Oh my and they gosh. Were
like, it's unlikely that it will get there the day of, and it's going to be $120. But anyway, that's what I need to tell you on this moment. This is why you're empty-handed right now, and you
will. I'll make up for it later, and I'll give to myself some milk chocolate. Okay. Did you eat the chocolate? That's the question I want to ask.
I've eaten the chocolate.
That's probably why you've got a sore throat.
That's why I'm dying.
I'm glad you indulged.
Yes, it was crunchy. It was.
Oh, don't.
I'm sorry. Okay, we'll move on from the food segment. Okay, so I just want to explain to the audience first and foremost how I came to learn about you and your magnificence and how our relationship has evolved into this particular time. And so I started listening to your podcast, Authentic Sex, about a year before my ex-husband and I separated. And I remember listening to your podcast and just feeling like this is the most groundbreaking shit I have ever listened to in my whole life. I'd never listened to any kind of sex-specific podcast. It was kind of at the forefront of the podcasting era. And I just remember you talking about sex really frankly, and it was really easy for me to digest. And I was like, I've got to work with this woman in some shape or form, because your podcast alone had been really life-changing for me. Mm. I don't know if I told you that, but really, truly inspiring and all the things. And so I just want to first and foremost say thank you for creating that amazing free content for the world to digest. And yeah, it was truly transformational for me. And then, truly. And so then, like the sacred slut first one you did, I was like, oh my God, this is just giving me permission. Like,
oh, that's so good. Yeah, that first, I think it was like my first episode, maybe.
Yeah. And I was such a prude at the time. Sacred slut. Lovely, look at me. Okay, so then.
Now look at you slutting about.
Slutting around town. Then I started working with you one-on-one with my ex-husband, and you gave us relationship coaching, which was really defining for our relationship. And then we met you in person, went to one of your workshops with you and your existing partner. Mm-hmm. And since then, I've come on a couple of your podcasts, and now today I'm honored to have you on mine. And it feels like a bit of a full circle, magical moment. So yeah.
Well, I've been on before though, haven't I?
No, not Finger Food is new, but I've been on yours twice.
Oh yeah, you've been on mine. Of course. This is exciting. I thought I'd been on before for some reason. Why the hell haven't I been? Thank God I'm here. Where was the invite for season
Why
one?
Why was I on season one?
Whoa. Saving the best for last, obviously.
I really was.
Okay, whatever.
So I want to know today the intricacies of your personal sex and love and relating history and experiences. I find it really intriguing when speaking to people that I feel have been on a really huge journey with their sex and their relating and have dedicated their lives to learning about it and uncovering it. And I just want to know the intricacies of what is going on behind the scenes.
Reveal everything. I'm quite happy to do that because I'm a bit of an open book.
Yeah.
But then I keep some things private. But yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so can you give me a really brief history of your
Jesus
of your relating and love experiences today?
Okay, so we've got 45 minutes.
Heavy hitting. You don't need to talk about all.
All right. So grew up and vowed I'd save my first time I had sex till I really loved someone. I don't know where I got that from. My parents didn't teach me that, but I just saw all the other girls at school just getting fingered behind the toilets at school. And I was like, I don't think I want that. Not that there's anything like that's pretty normal. But for me, I was like, I'm just going to wait till I really love someone. So had sex at 18 with my first boyfriend. And then I kind of have gone in and out of being single, but I've had some pretty big loves in my life, which I think they've all been so different and different circumstances and not necessarily relationships either, haven't turned into relationships. So I just feel so grateful for those experiences and the heartbreak and everything, because I think that's what's led me to being so great at what I do. Like, I mean, that's not very humble, but just because I've had such a diverse range of experiences, not just in love, but in life. And I guess one big one was I was in relationship with a woman for 4 years, and that was just such a huge journey for me. And I learned so much about myself and so much about women and so much about being in a relationship with a woman and the challenges that that brings in such a heteronormative culture. And I feel so grateful for that. I really do. And also just having heaps of sex with another woman was something that I wanted to experience. And then I became a mum at 23. So that was really young. And that was a huge point in my life that changed everything and inspired me to create a lifestyle that supported me to be a really great mum, but also have my career. And yeah, and then I met Nick. So this is a real short version, obviously, yes, of a lot of different ups and downs with relationships and all sorts. But I met Nick 6 years ago, and I'd just come out of the relationship with my then fiance woman, and he was
engaged.
Yeah, we got engaged. She proposed. We got engaged. At the time, marriage wasn't legal in Australia, so that was even weird because I was like, well, we're engaged, but we're not even allowed to get married.
When did that become legalized in Australia?
Not till recently. That was only like 3 or 4 years ago it became legalized.
Wow.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong if you're listening and you're like, you're way off the mark, but Australia is so behind.
Wow, that's cooked.
It really is. Yeah. So, yeah, we were engaged. But, you know, it didn't work out for various reasons. One being that I just couldn't see myself growing old with her. And I really wanted to have more children and to be in a relationship where I felt just so certain that I was going to be able to have more children and stay in the relationship, because I'd had a different experience with my daughter, and it has definitely been a tough road being single and parenting. And I guess I just really believed in the fairy tale too, of like, surely I can experience what I've seen other people experience. And anyway, so I left that relationship and got back on the dick, which was just so wonderful.
Oh my God. Wow. How was that, going from not having any dick for 4 years?
That was a long 4 years, because I really love penises and I really love sex with men. Like, I really love sex with women, but I really, really love sex with men. So, yeah, the experience was just amazing. I slutted about for a while just because I had to, you know, get it out of my system.
One must.
Yes, one must. And then when I met Nick, I was just like, oh, my God, this is my guy. Like, from the moment we met up and had a coffee, I just knew. Like, people say, you know, but I didn't believe that. I was like, come on, guys, that's just fairy tale shit.
Yes.
I just knew. And in our second date, there was this moment where he hugged me and the, like, spirit of our little boy came in. I'm going to start crying. Oh, my God. I already cry easily, but then preggers, I cry even more easily. It's ridiculous.
Your tears are welcome.
The spirit of our little boy came in, and I was like, oh my God, we're gonna have a little boy, we're getting married, what the fuck, I love this guy, I've loved him forever, and now he's back and we've found each other. I know. It was like when he hugged me in that moment, I just felt like I was home again in his arms. I know. It was just so surreal. And I cried, and, you know, it was like, fuck, he's going to think I'm a Fruit Loop. Like, second date. I was half naked on the riverbank at Brunswick Heads. And I was like, I'm not going to tell him what I'm saying because he might be like, oh, we've got a Fruit Loop on our hands. She thinks we're having a baby boy and getting married. but anyway, we've been together ever since.
Wow.
And been so deeply committed to each other. And, you know, it's been quite the journey. It still is. We have lots of challenges, but we also have a really, really strong foundation, which I think is just so important for any relationship if it's going to last long term. Yeah.
Oh.
And now I'm pregnant with our second child. So Nick really embraced Millie, my first girl, who's 17 in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
And then we had Sol in 2021. So he's nearly two. And now I'm due in August to have our second child together, but our third child, yeah. So
Wow. So where did you meet Nick?
Instagram. So my ex and I broke up twice. The second time was for good. The first time was a bit of a trial run. But we broke up and we had a few months apart. And in that time, Nick DM'd me on Instagram replying to some music that I put up. And I saw the DM and was like, oh, who is this guy? Like, not accepting. And then I kind of went and stalked him and was like, oh, he's hot. He has heaps of tattoos. Obviously, I was on the search for some dick.
Yes.
But I also had a few lovers on the go. So I was like, I cannot add another one into the mix. Let's just keep him on standby. So I put off having coffee with him for a while.
Yeah.
And then I got back together with my ex. So I messaged him and was like, hey, like, I really do want to meet up with you, but I just got back with my ex. So It's a no-go zone. Like, I respect her and you. And then he was so cool about it. He was so amazing. And then, yeah, we met up when I broke up with my ex. I inboxed him and was like, let's do that coffee. And, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, so how did the first coffee go? Was it just a coffee? Like, what did that first date?
No, it was just a coffee. He was late, which is, like,
Rude. So
fucking Nick. He has no concept of time. He still runs late till today, and it's a big conflict point in our relationship. But he was late, but we had this coffee. We went and sat at the beach, just had a coffee, chatted, and yeah, it was just really cool. And then he gave me a big hug at the end, and he showed me the back of his van. He had a van at the time. He just happened to open it, and it was like, now I look back, the van was so immaculate, and there was like a big long didgeridoo on the bed, and I was like, oh, my God, he's my dream guy. We can go on road trips. He's got a didgeridoo. It looks so clean. He's clean. He must have just been late because he was just cleaning the van.
Oh, my God. Is he actually clean, or was that just a facade to meet you? And
he does his best because he knows I'm a clean freak, but his cars are never clean, no. His cars are never clean. So that was just a show. But we ended up doing lots of road trips in that van, and lots of sex was happening in that van. So,
oh my gosh. Hot. I love this so much. And you talked about with you and Nick, obviously, love at first sight. You expressed you felt like you were at home when you hugged him on your second date. And you also expressed that there have been challenges, but there's always been this really solid foundation between the two of you since the very beginning. I'm curious, what are the challenges that you guys have had to navigate through this relationship?
I'd say the first big challenge was me wanting to have a baby with him sooner than he wanted. Because, you know, I'm older than him. I'm 6 years older. I was so ready just to start popping out more babies because I'd had such a big gap since the birth of my daughter. And so I brought it up a couple of months in that, like, he joked about women who get to a certain age and start getting desperate about having children. And I was like, ooh, so we probably need to have a chat. I could be one of those women. Like, I'm getting older. And I remember we were on a road trip and it really killed the vibe. You could tell he was like, ah, fuck, okay. So that was a big process for us. It went over a couple of years because he wasn't ready to have children. He even had a point where he was like, I just don't even know, like, I can't even say I want to have children with you. I'm just not even there yet. And so we did a lot of therapy around it and got a lot of support. And I basically got to a point where I was like, okay, so if there's no timeline at all and you don't actually know, then we need to break up. Because it was a non-negotiable for me to have more kids. Like, I wasn't fucking about with that one. So we actually had a break. We decided on a month break, no contact at all, so that he could go away and think about it. And it worked really well. Like, we had the month off and then we came back together and he still didn't know. And I said, okay, that means we're breaking up because you've had ample time and there's a lineup of guys who'd probably ready to, you know.
With me.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah. So we broke up. And then I think the breakup was when he was like, oh, fuck. And he went away and did some men's work weekend and came back and was like, I figured it out. I've removed the blockages and I do want to have kids. I can give you a 2-year timeline and we can start trying. So that was really good because I didn't need it to be straight away. So that was a big challenge. I just needed to know he was in, becoming a dad with me.
Yes.
So that was big. And like, oh my gosh, he is absolutely besotted with our son. And the best dad, as you can imagine, you know him. He's like just a 10 out of 10 dad. He's amazing. But he also is just like, he wants to just keep pumping them out now. Like, he's like, I love being a dad. And I'm like, yeah, I fucking told you so. I knew as soon as our baby was born, you'd love it. But, you know, yeah.
Oh, my heart. Fuck.
So that was a challenge. Another challenge was actually moving in. So that was before obviously having kids. He didn't want to move in as soon as I wanted him to move in. And that actually caused a lot of conflict because I was like, what's the deal? Like, we're in love. We're in this for the long run. Why do you want to move in? And he just wanted to take his time. And that's Nick. Yeah. That's his personality. He takes his time with everything, going back to even not having a concept of time and being late. No one tells Nick when to be somewhere or when you'll do something. It's like on his timeline. Caused a lot of conflict.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. How old were you when you were having those conversations with Nick around, you had your break and then he came to the realization that in a couple of years I'll be ready to have kids?
So I'm 41 in a couple of weeks. So I think I was 35 when I met him.
Yeah.
So 35, 36, probably around age 36. Yeah. Where I was like, yeah, I want at least 2 more kids. So let's, you know. And I know women can have kids when they're in their 40s. Like, I know people who do. And I don't think this is our last. So, fuck, I could be one of those women having a kid at age 43 or 44. But ultimately, I wanted to be as young as possible.
Yeah. Because I asked that specifically because I'm 33, almost 34. I don't currently have a partner. And that is a thing for me, that I want kids. And I think there's so much societal stigma around age, but also there's actual biological facts around the gap that we have to have kids. And I feel less stressed out about it because I just trust that if I'm meant to have kids, I will have them. But at the same time, I know it can be a real dividing factor in a lot of relationships. And yeah, did that come into it for you? Like the age thing, were you like, I'm ready to have them now?
Or was the age thing was big. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to pretend it wasn't. I think I'm trying to hide this picture behind me, but if I go like that, look like a devil horns. Because I hate the artwork on the wall behind me. As I told you before, it's the one piece I let Nick have in the house. And now if I do that, it looks like I'm the devil. I've been called the devil before by my ex's Catholic family, like devout Catholic. They honestly tried to tell her she's the devil, you need to get out. I was like, I am the devil and I will fuck you till the cows come home. And we will go to hell together and there'll be orgies and drugs and all sorts. So tell them that. Anyway, back to it. So, yeah, age came into it for me. I wasn't scared or fearful of having children in my 40s because I really just think that's a big hoo-ha that the medical system make around, like, the older you get, the higher risks, and they put all these stats in women's head and scare them. It was just more like, I want my daughter to be in the same house when she grows up with her siblings. And, you know, she's getting to an age where she could leave home in the next couple of years. Who knows? But also I want high energy levels because toddlers and kids are high energy. And I don't want to be this haggard 43-year-old just like, fuck, I'm pregnant again. And like, it's probably going to happen. But and since having Sol when I was basically 39, It's definitely a different experience to when I was 23, like hugely different on the body, the energy levels, etc. So, yeah.
What is the difference between the body comparatively to when you had a kid when you were 23 and now?
Well, when I was 23, I birthed her and within 6 weeks my body was back to normal. I was strutting about in bikinis, feeling absolutely fabulous, had all the energy in the world, was like jogging on the beach or like, you know, just so different. Yes. And then, when I had my son a couple of years ago, I just felt like it was a lot harder to feel great in my body again, to be honest. It was tough. And just my energy is and my patience is lower at this age.
Yeah.
It's like I've had all these years of, yes, been parenting Millie, but also had a lot of free time because she's been at her dad's. So I really value solitude and I value sleep-ins and I value movies at night and it's all changed. And so it's like I'm a bit more set in my ways too.
Yeah. And then how have you found that's affected your relationship dynamic, having kids and not having those freedoms?
We were just chatting to our midwife yesterday about this. It's such a different experience, this pregnancy, as opposed to the last, because how it's affected our relationship is like we have less sex, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's because I've been breastfeeding up till only a couple of weeks ago. So when you breastfeed, it shifts your hormones to be able to provide for that child. And often your sex drive is lower. And then they say, once you stop feeding, your libido will come back. Well, I got preggers intentionally, again, while breastfeeding. And then so I was pregnant and breastfeeding. And that's like a double whammy on the libido. Like, you know, your libido naturally is going to say, well, I ain't got time to make more babies, basically. You got no time on your hands. You are not getting fucked anytime soon.
So how do you navigate? Yeah, absolutely. Like that would honestly be the last thing on my mind. And I know for all my friends that have babies, this is the same conversation they have. Like they just don't really want to fuck whilst they're breastfeeding, after having a baby, after going through the experience of birth. Like they just don't. And I'm curious, obviously that's fine for you, but with Nick, he's a man, he has needs. Like how do you navigate that between you?
Well, it actually hasn't been a conflict point for us. So I wouldn't say it's a challenge because I would say Nick naturally has a lower libido than mine. He has a normal libido and I have a high libido outside of this season. So it's actually quite nice not to have the dynamic of me always wanting more, 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 more. It's evened out the playing field in a way with sex with us. Yeah. And of course, I think he would love more sex, no doubt. But he can masturbate. Like I have no issues with him masturbating. And it's not that we're not having sex. Like we still have sex. And like my favorite would just be an easy hand job at the moment. Just like, you know, just a slutty hand job. Just like whack some oil on. Let's get this shit done. You can pretend I'm a prozzy or whatever you want, whatever turns you on. I don't care. Like sometimes I'll just role play. The other day I was a doctor. I just was like, oh, fuck it, I'll just be a doctor. Just, you know, mix it up for him. Because we both kind of got our weird kinks and stuff. He doesn't have doctor kinks or prostitute kinks, to be honest. But I probably do. So I was like, going to have to do a checkup and see if it's working. And like I pretended like he was a younger guy and, you know, like I was taking advantage of him in the doctor's suite. God.
Yes.
So like we just do stuff like that that tides him over and it turns me on too half the time. Next minute I go from being this big whale of a pregnant woman like with some oil on my hand being like, come here, I'm your doctor, and then I'm like, I really feel like a dick up my ass, what do you reckon? And he's just like, whoa, things really escalated quick.
So I thought we were doing a cheeky hand job.
I know. Well, it can go from 0 to 100 with me.
That's good. That's
but yeah, good. So we do have a sex life. It's just way less existent as before. As for challenges as parents with young kids and a teenager, it's challenging. We have so much less time for each other and so much less time for solitude. And we both find that really fucking hard because we both love to just be by ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God. It's a journey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just requires consistent communication, therapy. We get couple therapy once a month, like a 2-hour session.
Amazing. Yeah.
We have to.
Yeah. I was going to ask that actually. From the very initial stages of you and Nick meeting each other, did you find that there was a level of work that you had to put in to create the dynamic that you had compared to now? Do you find that the level of work that you're having to put in is more or less or consistently the same throughout the relationship?
I'd say it's less now, weirdly. At the start, there were a lot of things we had to iron out to get to the point where we were solid. But we still do a lot of work. Like, I'll do therapy by myself once a month. Then we do couples therapy once a month. Yeah. And then Nick does therapy once a month. So we're consistently just committed to working on stuff because stuff's always coming up. Like, to be honest, the latest is the fact that my income's dropped because I've had Sol and had time off and I'm in my motherhood season. And then I'm about to have another baby. So it's going to drop even more because I'm going to have 2 under 2. And so what's come up around that is like the change in finances and income and how do we balance it all? Because I've always earned a lot, you know, my career has been really successful, but because my energy is elsewhere, I'm earning a lot less. So like, all right, we need to talk money more, like, which is new for us because it's always been quite flowed in very abundantly.
Yes.
So that's a new challenge that we're doing therapy around because sometimes it's easier just to have that third person to like mediate, especially if I can sometimes be quite straight to the point about things.
Yeah, because I'm curious to know whether relationships that put in the work in the initial stages, they're committed to really deeply communicating and showing up and doing that with each other. Does that aid for less work later down the line? And yeah, I guess your experience, what I'm hearing is that yes, in a sense, but also you're consistently committed to showing up for yourselves in the relationship. So it's just part of it.
I think it's just part of it, but I do think you need to have that strong foundation at the start. And I think it's more about both of you being on the same page that it is a priority for both of us to be working on ourselves first and foremost, and that we are committed to, as a relationship, to continue growing and evolving together, and you can't take it for granted. It is a constant process till the day you die, I think.
Yeah, that's so interesting. When you've had those moments of contention within your relationship, gone through the challenges like the do you want to have babies situation and you've had time apart, how have you come back together and reconnected after that?
That's a good question. No one's ever asked me that. We pretty easily come back and reconnect. Like, we don't do silent treatments. I think the longest we'd go being pissed off and in it, like in the process of it all, would be like a day. But it takes us a lot quicker now. Like, it's a couple of hours and we're both just laughing. And we had an argument yesterday morning. So an example, Nick was doing the washing up and then he goes, "Fuck, who fucking cleaned the knives? They've fucking got grease all over them." And I was, that's really out of character for him. So I was like, ooh, he's obviously got something going on underneath the not clean knives, because that's really out of character. And I was like, what the fuck? What's up your nose? Like, I don't know who didn't clean the knives. Who gives a shit? Re-clean them, put them back on the sink. And he's like, don't fucking talk to me like that. And I was like, all right, so we're not going to go on that coffee date this morning because clearly you're pissed or you've got something going on and you need solitude, because I know if he's like this, he needs time by himself. So I'm going to take Sol. You go do your thing. I'll do my thing. I don't want to be around you, especially when you're just throwing around F-bombs like that. I love swearing, but it's like, I'm just like, no.
It's an aggressive energy. It's an aggressive
energy. Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, you got shit to do.
It's an morning energy.
So, you know, he huffed and puffed, went to the bedroom, laid on his phone in the bed, didn't even go for coffee. I was like, mate, get up, like, get out. And anyway, long story short, our son, interestingly, wouldn't get out of Nick's car so that I could take him. So Nick was like, just get in the car, we'll go together. And I was like, okay, stop. So I went around to like him sitting in the driver's seat in a huff and puff. And I was like, what's going on? It's not about the knives. He's like, just get in, we've got to go. And I was like, nah, not getting in and going on a coffee date if you're in this mood. Let's just talk about what's really going on. Are you worried about something? I knew exactly what he was worried about, but I was like, is there something going on? Anyway, he just said, yeah, I'm just worried about money and, you know, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, like, you know, I put my hand on his knee. I was like, thank you for sharing, because he shared some stuff. And then gave him a big hug and, like, genuinely just put my hand on his heart, on his back, and was like, it's okay. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And then we could move forward, and then we had a great time. We took Sol to the park, had a coffee. It's good. But it's like being able to catch and understand your partner too, I think, is important. But catch those moments of like, this could escalate into a huge argument about dishes, and it's not about the dishes. But not everyone has that awareness to catch it in time before it escalates into like a 2-day fucking hoo-ha.
I really, really love what you're saying around that. It's actually just identifying that this is out of character. This is an emotional reaction that they're having, and what's beneath this, and how can I meet this with compassion and understanding as opposed to reactivity and
making him wrong, me right. It's like, well, he's just overloaded. So it's coming out in anger and frustration, but really there's stuff going on. So yeah.
Yeah. And money is fucking huge as well in terms of stress. Like, I know for myself, I studied the whole of last year, and like, money is a fucking stress attack on the nervous system. If you're worried about how you're going to live the life that you want to live, or even how you're going to pay your rent this month, you know,
it's, it can really put a lot of stress on things. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's also really good. Like, I see it as a really good turning point in our relationship to have this challenge come up now, because it's like, there is no fucking about, like, a baby's nearly about to be born. So let's just change the way we do things. It's not hard. There's so much money out there just floating about.
Yes, totally.
There really is. Like, it's just, okay, how do we have some fall into our hands?
How do we attain it? How do we get it? Okay, what are your personal red flags? As in, my red flag is sometimes I'm like a selfish bitch.
Oh, I don't have any. I'm perfection, 100%. No, not. I can be quite manipulative. I'm really good at manipulating, like really subtle, artful manipulation. I'm also quite good at emasculating if I want to, which is really horrid and something that really bugs Nick. It's like, I'm not a bitch where I'm like, you're a fucking C-U-N-T and you're a fucking pathetic loser. I don't ever say stuff like that. I go in sideways really subtly if I want to hurt somebody. And I've caught myself over the years, because I used to be a real bitch. So manipulation and a bit of emasculation thrown in for good measure are my two red flags that, you know, I do a lot of work on, because it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah. I love that.
And by the way, I'm always right.
of course you are.
Of course, I'm always right. So, that brings a little bit of conflict every now and then.
Yes. Okay. What are your green flags?
Oh, I'm just wonderful.
Fucking amazing.
No, you know, I'm a really loving, generous person, I think. And I really do, I give a lot when I'm in a relationship. Like, when I'm just in 100%. Even with my girlfriends, like, there's no half-assed. It's like I'm in or I'm out. And that's the same as my romantic relationships. I really feel like I'm invested. And I think that's a green flag, is that I have a lot of love to give. Yeah. And I honestly could talk for days about a lot of different things that I think I'm great at, just the same as what I'm not so great at. But yeah.
I love that. And if you could give one piece of advice to your younger self in the realms of sex, love, and relating, what would it be?
Oh, shit. Just to be more honest, just to be really honest with people, like, rather than sleeping around with, say, 2 or 3 guys without telling them, just be honest about where I'm at and what I want and what I'm up to, just so that I'm not feeling like I'm going behind people's backs. So, yeah, just a lot more honesty and listening to my heart more, saying no more. Yeah.
Beautiful. You talk about good sex, takeaway sex, ecstatic sex, one of my favorite podcasts that you've ever created. I like it specifically because you refer to takeaway sex being like the McDonald's of sex. Like, you fuck, you have a one night stand, whatever it is, you wake up the next day and you feel hungover or like gross from your decision to have a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Good sex?
Good sex is just like, I'm horny, let's fuck. kissing, some sort of penetration, have an orgasm, have a cuddle, go to sleep, wake up the next day, not really think about it. But, you know, sex life is kind of ticking over, that kind of thing. Just like, yeah, it was good. It was good.
Okay. And then ecstatic sex. What is that to you?
It's like the sex that you have where you're like, oh my God, that was fucking mind-blowing. You know, the one where you're like, next day you say to your partner or lover or whoever or your best friend, you're like, oh my God, that was amazing. And you just feel so energized by it and so deeply connected and potentially even think about it more. Whereas good sex, you kind of just get on with life. It's like, you've had sex, cool. And it's just, I think, more of a spiritual experience. Like, there's something greater than you in there rather than just a fuck. Yeah.
And what would be your biggest tip to attaining ecstatic sex with a lover or partner?
I just want to say about ecstatic sex, that's not just for relationships. Like, I have had some of the most ecstatic sexual experiences with people I barely know. So it really depends on the people that you are choosing to have sex with. And just do work on yourself to be that ecstatic lover that you really want to meet. Because so many of us want the dream partner, the dream sex god or goddess. But we're not that. So we're looking for something that we can't match. Like, our lovers are a mirror of ourselves. And so I would just recommend, like, do the work. What's getting in the way of you being in touch with your own sexuality and your own pleasure? How can you love yourself up first? And, you know, self-pleasure and really believe in yourself and, like, feel like you've let go of past trauma, all the things, so that you can manifest and attract in energetically lovers who meet your energy or who are even more fantastic, so that they can inspire you to level up your sex game.
Yes.
So much. That's a whole other episode, really, isn't
that's it? A whole other episode. I know. I just wanted to end on some sexy shit, you know?
Yeah, fuck yeah. We've got to end on sexy shit. We can't end on lasagna meat, that's for sure.
Not end on lasagna
meat. I'm sorry to all the vegans who are just like probably not even still listening after the first 5 minutes of our convo. I'm talking about full cream cow's yogurt and lasagna meat.
It's all welcome here. I eat it all, so it's all welcome. But I am doing like a series of content creating your favorite meal as like part of what will come before your show, even though you're not receiving it. I'll be making it. And
that sucks. Can you not move to Australia, please?
We're not going to do that. But apple crumble's cute and chic, so we might do that.
I love a good apple crumble.
How good. How good. All right, my love. Well, I've loved this last hour that we've spent together, and you're amazing. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing your vulnerable truth of your relationship. And yeah, I just feel very honored to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's always fun with you, Stace. You know, I actually genuinely have to hold back on laughing as much as I want to laugh in a podcast episode with you, because otherwise the whole episode would just be us laughing at our own stupid personal jokes. And then everyone would just be like, what is this? Like, is there any good content in this? Or is this just... So, yeah, it's just, you know, you're just such an epic, amazing human being, and you're funny. And I wish we lived closer so that we could eat apple crumble and lasagna meat together. And I wish postage was cheaper. So that I had that chocolate in my hands.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, following, downloading, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to work with me one-on-one or listen to more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com or follow us on Instagram at finger.food.podcast. Stay safe, stay sexy, see you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.